We are indeed mere humans, but we stand in the presence of a mighty and a great God. I take great comfort in that, as well as I am awestruck in His presence. Part of me is so greatly encouraged when I hear Him say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." When He says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace." But then I see His grandeur, and I feel greatly humbled. And I suppose the Lord would have us to feel greatly humbled. We are in nowhere, in any way at all, His equal. But we are His children. And that is such a great blessing that we can have today, to be known as a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't know, maybe just a child of the King. He's, you know, we say King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is that. But there's none like Him. There's not really another King beside Him. He is the King. And I'm grateful for the kind of God that we can have. I am also thankful this morning that we can live in America. We can live in the type of land that we live in today. I probably, like you, sometimes am disappointed in the direction that we see the country going in. Love to see that turned around. Brother Michael mentioned a very important part this morning when he said it happens one at a time. The reason why the direction of the country is going wrong is because of the moral decay. And what we have going on right now is a reflection of a moral decay in people's hearts. That's what we have. And for that to be turned around, we will need to have a revival of godliness in the hearts of mankind. And that is going to have to be at least in our hearts. We need that, folks. We need a revival. The full embrace of godliness in our lives. Not a timid, "I wonder if I ought to do that." But no, just a full identification, not being ashamed when we walk in the world around us, a whole world that may look on us and try to shame us for our stand of righteousness. Not be ashamed, but stand there with not arrogance, but courage. Being willing to stand where righteousness is. Having said all that, I'm still very grateful to be here in America. What we see going on around us in this last election has perhaps accentuated. Let's just know we have a lot of work to do. It's not time to be discouraged, but it's time to set to work. Spiritually too, folks. Notice where it really is. It's a spiritual battle that we're in, and this is what God wants you and I, as we walk amongst our neighbors, as we live around in our communities, that we are not ashamed of standing up for righteousness and living it. My grandpa, you knew, those of you who knew my grandpa Eck, would recognize him he wasn't a very vocal man. He wasn't a man that really stood out in the crowd. He was just a very common, you wouldn't pick him out. He didn't stand out in any crowd. He was my grandpa, though. And there's things that he did that my family today is extremely blessed by. 1956 came around, Monarch Camp meeting. 1956 at the Monarch Campground, there was an epidemic of typhoid broke out there. Call that epidemic. There was a typhoid got passed around. My grandma had it. She got it. And typhoid is deadly. It killed some. Brother Murphy Allen had a daughter that passed away that year. I believe it was 56. Am I not correct? Anyway, somewhere around that time. My grandma was very sick. And I remember them telling me these stories. The neighborhood men got together and they called Grandpa in for a conference. And they said, Grandpa, or they said, Albert Eck, to my grandpa, they said, you, I don't see how you can hold your head up and feel yourself a man and let your wife be like that. Their product, they milk cows, and the stuff from the farm, the produce was all quarantined. They couldn't sell it. Their livelihood, everything was shut down. The days were dark. And my grandma was high fever and out of her mind. Swung in and out. It was some very dark days. And then the neighborhood came around and come in like that. My grandpa was driving back home. And he said that he looked out in the field there, and I know the field, driven by it many times myself. And he said, it appeared like the whole field was full of doctors in white frocks and had stethoscopes around their neck. I don't know why it all had to be that way except to identify it to Grandpa who they were. So there's a whole group of them standing out there in that field. And he said, there over here to the side was one that he recognized as Jesus standing there. And it was, the question came to his mind, which one will you choose? And he said, I choose you. And let me tell you what that decision has done. The strength of one person standing has blessed my family. Not just that issue. I'm talking about the godliness that he stood for. My grandpa was not one that would impress you with his intellect or his... Maybe he'd impress you a little bit with his stubbornness. He'd live it like that. But he'd also impress you as somebody that stood for godliness. He would do that. He stood there. And I have been immensely blessed in my lifetime by that man standing for righteousness. It has encouraged me, and I want you to know God wants you and I to also stand right there in righteousness and godliness, and He will be there, and there will be, if the Lord allows time to go on, there will be a great blessing that will be passed right on down to another generation. We see children growing up. Amen. And we see them develop and changes happen. Folks, we want godliness to be the rule of their life. And we want to stand right there too. Amen. Not for just tradition's sake. Tradition's good. I like the tradition of Thanksgiving. Traditions are good. Godliness should be the backbone of our life. No, it goes way beyond tradition. Well, I would like to look over here into a scripture. I think I want to start over here this morning in Psalms 68th chapter of Psalms. It says here that maybe we'll start with the third verse, 68:3. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises. Sing unto His name. Extol Him that rules above the heavens. By His name, Yah. You heard of Yahweh? This is a root of that. Having to do with that great benevolent power who spoke us all into existence. And this is a name that the Israelites held in such reverence that they really, for them to even speak it, was in certain places was taboo. I think, if I remember right, this was a name held in great reverence. Anyway, it talks about here, for let the righteous be glad, and this is a day that, folks, we ought to, above all days, be glad. Amen. What a turn of heart for thanksgiving to the Lord for what He has done for us, the heritage that He's given us, the freedoms that we still have. The fact that you and I today have the right to make a choice, we can turn our hearts toward the Lord, and we can invest wholly in the Lord, and allow the sweet presence of our Heavenly Father come into our lives and create in us, yet in this day, a godly walk that we can walk with the Lord and live a life before our fellow man. Thank the Lord for that. Rejoice, O you righteous. Thank the Lord for what He's doing in your life. Thank the Lord for the divine touch that God is giving you. I'm talking about that divine touch that guides you, your life, that changes your mind, that replaces the old carnal spirit with a holy spirit, that divinely corrects you as you go along when you sometimes get along going through life and you get off track a little bit. There is this divine touch that corrects and changes. And thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord, you righteous. Laud His name. Raise it high. With your voice, yes, but especially with your heart. You know, a lot of times that's a louder shout than your voice can give anyway. Sing unto God. Sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rides upon the heavens by His name. Yah, and rejoice before Him. Oh, Father, a father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows. Is God, this is who He is, this a father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, this is the God that we serve, the God in the holy in His holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. You know what that just said? What He said, do you feel alone today? If you feel like that really nobody cares, and maybe you're one of those, maybe there's families here today, enjoy being together and enjoy Thanksgiving, enjoy family time, but maybe you're one of those that doesn't have that. And maybe so much pain has happened in your family, things have happened that you feel all solitary, all alone. In this family that God Himself creates, He's got a place to plug you in. God sets the solitary, the lonely, in a place of identity. This is home. This is the direction. This is the way. Walk ye in it. We all need that sense of belonging, don't we? God has not left you alone. I don't care if you were like me and was so extremely disappointed November 3. Well, when was that election? 6. November 7th. I woke up so disappointed, but the Lord said, I'm still your God. I'm still your Heavenly Father. We can still be disappointed what choices people have made. I'm not saying we can't be, but there is a God that goes beyond the surroundings that we live in. There is a God that caused Daniel to be able to rejoice and sleep well in the den of lions. It's the same God that we have today. Oh, rejoice now with me. There is a God. I'm not saying we don't. We say, oh, there's no lions, because the reality is there were lions there. But God made him, I don't know how well he slept. Maybe he stood up, he stayed there all night and talked with the angel, holding that holding those mouths of lions closed. I don't know, but he had a good time that night, whether he slept, but he was at peace. And I want to tell you, the Lord can bring you and I through the day we live in today with peace in our soul. He can take you and I and set us in a place of His dwelling where we feel the oneness of His family. Folks, there are things that can attack the oneness of that family. And all those elements that attack the oneness of a family can be tied back to sin and sin's ways. That's the way it is in a marriage, is it not so? Those elements that attack the sweetness, the harmony of a family, you can tie all those back to a sin element. That's the way it would be in a congregation too, folks. And you know, God wants you and I to see a vision beyond where we go today or the present day distresses. He stands above. There is a highway. And there is yet a voice that stands behind us saying, this is the way. There is a voice of a conscience that God has placed within you and I, that God does not want you and I to violate. He wants us to be sensitive to the voice of His Holy Spirit talking to us, not only through His Holy Spirit, His conscience that He puts within us. He wants us not to callous that or cause it somehow to be damaged. And God calls to you and I to a higher plane. There is a vision. And I like that when I read that verse here recently. God sets a solitary in a home, in a family. Now I'd like to go over here into Proverbs. It's the 29th chapter of Proverbs. You know, sometimes Proverbs, there's places in Proverbs that it doesn't carry one thought through a number of places. Sometimes a thought is encapsulated in a verse. And the verse I want to read to you here today is like that. 29th chapter of Proverbs in the 18th verse. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now what this is saying to me, I'll go ahead and read the rest. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The Lord wants us to recognize that in the turmoil that maybe the nation is, the turmoil that we go through in life, life is not always going to be smooth sailing, folks. It never has been. We would have unrealistic expectations if we had to feel like that we get saved, and once I get saved, well, I'm on cloud nine for the rest of my life. That's just not so. I'll tell you two young folks, if you come and get married and you think that you're going to be on cloud nine in your marriage the rest of your life, that's unrealistic expectations. Now, there's some cloud nine in it. Don't get me wrong. But life's not like that. There also, in our walk with the Lord, there is a certain ripening that goes on. In our marriage, as you go along and you get to know each other better, you have a stronger basis that your love ripens and strengthens in. You hit hard times. Maybe disagreement is a hard time. And you learn to come together and to stand stronger together through sometimes the disagreements of life. You learn how to trust. You see the strength of your partner, of your marriage, of the one you're married to, the one you love. I know this is the way it has been to my wife. I'm very grateful for her silent strength. I didn't mean to accentuate the silence. She's kind of a quiet type person, but she is not above telling me the truth. And I appreciate that greatly. Do you know that's been a protection to me in life? And sometimes the places that we, in our marriage relationship, some of the places that we came and had disagreement, I have found has been some of the richest places that have anchored in my past and has caused us in our relationship today to be more full and more rich. Our marriage today is stronger because of some of the things that we went through. In your relationship with the Lord, did you know it will be stronger if you go through it with the Lord? Now God holds before us the prize. When we get into a hurricane, when we get into a storm that overwhelms, feels like it's overwhelming us, it would be easy to get off course. And sometimes you do get off course. And sometimes you need to be corrected. You need to take a new heading. You need to look back up, get away from the clouds and all the things that whirl around, and look back to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to look back to Him. But many times when we get into the hard places of life, we get so consumed with these things that are so close to us. And they demand our attention so strongly that sometimes I forget to raise my eyes to the goal. And without a vision, without a direction, without a goal, people perish. When we start looking at each other and each other's failings, and sometimes, folks, sadly, it's a fact, we're still all human. Sadly? No, maybe it's not sadly. Maybe God put us like this so He could paint His glory upon us. He can take imperfect humans just like you and I and make us to live righteous. Thank the Lord for that. Oh, thank the Lord. There have been people go before us proved it. I've seen men like my grandpa that didn't stand out among the crowd, but I'm telling you, he stands out in my mind today because of his faithfulness unto the Lord. Stands there as a monument, folks. God wants you and I, in the turmoil sometimes that we go through in life, He wants us to catch a vision that's beyond this current, present day distress. And look on to a God that still leads forward. Folks, He's leading toward heaven. He's leading toward righteousness. He's not ashamed to call you and I His children if we bring ourselves into His fold. Oh, and He wants us to be there. You remember what Jesus said when He looked over Jerusalem? You see, Jerusalem had made wrong choices. In general, the city, Jesus was looking over that, and you remember how He wept over Jerusalem? And He said, how often I would have gathered you together as a hen would gather her chicks, but you wouldn't. And there's consequences to our choices. Did you know if they would have turned... He went on in that verse to say, behold, now it's left unto you desolate. But on the other hand, if they would have come under His wings, you know what else? What that would have been? We can only surmise, but we can feel that in ourselves today. When we come under His wings, we feel the guiding hand. We feel the correction in a home where a father is a godly father. You know, this is one thing that I am so blessed. I have 4 children, most of them. All of them are past 18 now. That happens so quickly. But as we're raising the children, investing our time and love in them, and I had in my mind, folks, there are things that I count very valuable. There's character issues. I expect sometimes my children, I don't expect them always to obey me, but I expect them to be truthful. There are certain character things that, I mean, they count a lot to me. And I want my children to have a tender heart toward the Lord. These are things I wanted to teach in my home. These are foundational to me. And as I went through is raising the little children. Folks, sometimes we can get busy. And it's hard sometimes to really
spend the time we should.
We struggle with that. I understand that. You young couples raising children, believe me, I pray for you. Ask the Lord to bless you.
But it can be done.
And God wants especially the fathers to have something settled inside them. A good direction. He wants the father to catch the vision. He wants the father to get his eyes on Jesus the Christ and on God who sent his Son on Calvary to save our souls, to cleanse us, to make us pure and holy and true. He wants us to catch a vision of that and the direction we're going. And for him to have such a passion about that, that passion rubs off on his children. I don't know how else to say it. Children pick it up. Now, you know, God wants that in a congregation. He wants that in your life in this congregation. Don't look at it just, don't look at it for just to be manifested in the pastor. That's a good place that should be there. Don't want to put any pressure on you. But God wants us to have that type of passion for godliness. From the pastor, but from where you sit in your seat today. That passion for godliness, catch it. And see a vision that goes beyond the present distress that we have in life. We're going to have that. We're going to have ups and downs. We're going to have the cloud nines, and we're going to all have the valleys. You know, recently, there's a replica, and I forget how old the ship, HMS, remember the ship that went down, the one that had sails recently in the hurricane? Sandy. HMS something. I'm sorry, but anyway, it was a replica of an old ship that had big sails. And it went out to sea to try to ride out the hurricane, try to get out, and the hurricane caught them. They went down. And I thought sometimes that you and I can feel just like those ships out on the high seas. When it seems like the waves are so tall and so overwhelming that there is no way for us to survive. That is life sometimes. It will be there. But don't forget when you're in that, that there is somebody that stands just beyond. That He would hold out to you and I the direction that He wants us to take. Amen. And not only the direction, but when we get blown off course in the whirlwind that we're in, there is still one calling to us that says, this is the way. Walk in it. Amen. You remember Brother Sammons used to tell us a story about on ship. I think in World War II, maybe it was, I think it was World War II. He was on a carrier. Troop ship, maybe. Anyway, they were in a bad storm. Heard him say that one time that old ship was creeling and going. A rivet gave way and heard it sing across the room. Really tough storm. Things were getting twisted. He gave us a story about the captain who was up there. And the man down there that was, he couldn't see ahead of him, but he was manning the ship's wheel. And the captain would say, so many degrees to your right, or I don't know how their terminology was. He'd give him corrections. And then he'd say, okay, all right, steady as you go. Brother Salmons used that term a lot, steady. Steady as you go. And now, folks, I want to tell you today and where we're living today, I want to just say that to you again today. Steady. Steady now. Steady as you go. Perhaps we're going through places that the Lord may have to say, a few degrees to your right. Turn a little bit this direction. But folks, if we'll listen quietly, if we'll get our ears in tune with that still small voice, if we'll quit listening to all the roar around about us and turn in to that still small voice, He'll tell us, this is the way. This is the way. Walk here. And you don't really need for me to tell you what's right and wrong. Did you know God has put something within your heart for you to know? Be honest. Say, I just want to live godly. I want to live like you, Father. And as you do that, did you know you pursue godliness when you catch that vision of where we're headed? And then the rest of these scriptures and things they say begin to make more sense. They begin to come alive. Because it's interpreted through the view of God, the author of this very book. You begin to understand why it is written that way. It begins to come alive. You understand it. God wants us to have a vision going forward. Because where there is no vision, the people, and that's you and me, I'm a people also. What happens, we get off track and we get confused and we start sailing off on our own. What happens when you start having a home where there is turmoil and there is no direction in the home? I've seen some of that. There was a young couple up our way that actually my daughter went to college with this girl, and she got married. They've had 3 children. The first 2 have been taken away. The third one was taken away for a while and now is back in the home. The reason why is because that home has no direction. Has no purpose. They have... And you know, that's one of a tremendous amount of people, of homes in this nation that has no direction. None. When that happens, you know what happens to the home? It disintegrates. There's nothing there. If that would happen in any congregation, you know what happens? It doesn't feel like home anymore. So you start looking for another place of security. I want to tell you, there is only one place of security, and that is in Jesus Christ. That is the element that holds us together as a people. Without us being in harmony with the Father through His Son Jesus Christ, we will never be in harmony with one another. I care not how many times we would try to get together in a fellowship hall and try to create fellowship. You will never create it on that basis. Fellowship is created when I am in love with the Heavenly Father. And you're in love with the Heavenly Father. And when we get together, we feel a kinship because we have the same Father. We have the same direction. We have the same vision. And without that vision, you and I will perish individually and perish as a group. We will. I don't want to stay on the dark side of that. That's a warning. That's a truth. But on the other hand, the other side of that very scripture means if you do have the vision, you don't have to perish. Where is it that the Lord is leading? Is it stagnant waters that He goes in? Is it these, I guess I don't know where I'm headed. No! He is going forth conquering and to conquer. He has a purpose. He has a direction that He wants to take your life and mine in. As we walk through this life, it's not that He's trying to micromanage your life, but He wants godliness to rule in our life. He wants righteousness to be the rule of our life. And as that develops in who we are, we go out there and the very personality that He has made us with, it begins to bloom because I'm free and I'm comfortable being me in the Lord. I'm no longer hanging my head trying to, I don't want to offend those folks, and I don't. You know, there's a place to be tolerant and caring for others. I believe that. There's a place also not to be tolerant with sin, folks. There's a place not to be ruled with that. There's a place to be happy in the Lord. To be secure and hearing His voice in front of me and seeing where He wants me to go, having strong convictions in my heart, and identifying with the Heavenly Father, that's where I want to go. And not being ashamed of going there. And as we live in this life, then there we will walk by people who are so dysfunctional, homes without direction. And they'll come by sometimes and say, "I like what you got," because they don't have it.
One time, there was a young man that his history was very broken. It's a terrible history. He was used to not having a schedule in his life. His schedule was go to bed when I get to the point that I just fall over from asleep. And that was 3 a.m. or so. Well, at this point, it was part of my job to try to help him get to bed by 12. It wasn't his desire to be in bed by 12. The next morning, at 6 o'clock, I was supposed to be in the kitchen helping cook breakfast. He didn't seem to care about that. That it was 12:30, almost 1 o'clock at this point, and I was trying to tell him we need to shut the light off and go to bed. Finally, I was in my frustration. I said, "Now, if you grew up on a farm like I did and had to milk cows, you'd be getting to bed." And I said, "I tell you what, if you don't get to bed tomorrow morning, I'm going to get you up and you're going to help me in the kitchen." He was 15 or 16. The next morning, he didn't get to bed quite when I felt like he needed to. The next morning, came around 6 o'clock, and I went to where he was sleeping, and he didn't want to wake up. And I stood true to my word for him. He stood up and rubbing his eyes because his bed was upside down. And I said, "I need you to get ready and come down and help me cook breakfast. I told you that last night." And he did. He went home after that experience and had the one that was helping raise him, take care of him, to call my house and said, "Can I spend the rest of the summer with you?" You know what he was needing? He was needing somebody that cared enough about him. And I wasn't doing this. I was perturbed, yes, but he was feeling that I cared for him. And I really wanted that to come through to him. He said, "I'd love to spend the rest of summer with you." You know what? He was wanting the boundaries of his life. He was wanting to have some security. He's wanting to have some direction. Without that, folks, we perish. I was giving you a human example. I'm talking on a spiritual level also. If you do not have a passion for the things of God, if you don't have enough desire to serve the Lord, that you don't order your life, you will fly off into chaos. And the devil will make sure it'll get there. You know, if you don't have that, one of the things that I found extremely a blessing in our home when we first got married. Before I got married, I'd set up a habit and a pattern in my life of having my own personal worship. I read and prayed. After we got married, when we came together, that was still my habit. And if I wouldn't have had that habit before, there's a certain amount of strangeness when you're starting to kind of blend that first life together. But if I wouldn't have had that habit so strong in my life, I'm not sure I'd have said, "Well, honey, you know, I want to, let's get up and have prayer this morning. Let's read. Let's pray." The reason why we do that is because it gives order and direction in my life. And folks, I want to tell you, it has blessed not only my personal life, it has blessed my home. And without this vision, without this direction, you know what happens? We perish. We fly off into chaos. Without the vision, they perish, but he that keeps the law, he's happy. I don't want to stand up here and paint a picture to you that my life's all rosy and everything's perfect, and because it's not, it's like yours. But I will come up here and paint a picture to you that the choices that the Lord has helped me to make has blessed my life, and I recommend it. It has been so far a very blessed life. The brother told us just before we went down to prayer, I think. It was during prayer requests, yes. He told us of how he saw others take another route. He saw what it did. He said he didn't need to do that. We don't have to reinvent it. We don't have to say, well, I think I can do it a little bit better. I'm a little smarter than what they are. I can control it a little better. Folks, you're not going to. Blessed is the one who hears that voice and obeys the voice of the Lord and sees the vision and the direction and heads that direction. Now, you're not going to be there when you start out. But you're going to head there. And as you go there, the Lord will correct and change and mold and shape. And He'll take, I've used this example before, He'll take you and I, we may be an old, rough, uncut block of granite, but folks, He knows how to start chopping and hewing, and He's a master sculptor. He knows how to shape your life and mine. If we'll let Him, He will correct and change and mold. And when we get down toward the end, I don't know, Michelangelo came up with some pretty nice looking sculptures. I believe God's better than that. He can take you and I and take an old rough person, an old ignorant farmer like me, and I don't expect to be one of those that will ever be able to match wits with the doctors. I'm not interested in that. But I want to tell you this much. I believe I can make heaven. I believe I can live peaceful and right here. I believe that I can, this old farmer can just go on right down this road and listen to that voice, hearing the call of my Heavenly Father, and have peace. And this scripture here says it, and I believe it so because I've experienced. He that keeps the law, he's happy. Isn't that what we want? In this life we live in today, in the turmoils the family is going through, and I know also that it affects the congregation. In the turmoils that you're going through, I want to tell you there is a voice out there calling. Here's a godly way. Here I am. Come. Here I am. Keep on going. Don't quit. There's a place that you and I, of this vision with the Lord, of great security, and I want to encourage you today, walk in it. Don't allow, what's that song? That's a blessing to the proof. There you go. You got it. What is it? Let thy failings a blessing to thee prove. What song is that in? Is it? Okay, you had it. That's the one. Press on. And let thy failings a blessing to thee prove. Don't crumble under it. You might need to be corrected. We correct our children, don't we? Whom the Lord loveth, He chastens. He corrects. He brings back into line. But He's always calling us, this is the way. Amen. I want to encourage us today to keep on. Don't quit. There's a place of great peace in the Lord.